Well, good morning. I am not Joe Lay. It's good to have you in this house. Yeah, well, you know, it's so good to have you in this house today. I am Bill Small, worship pastor. If you don't know me, I would love to get to know you. And so we want to welcome all those that are watching online right now and just thank you for tuning in. Our pastor Joe will be back next week to continue on with this series that we are in. So we are starting a new series. It's called Holy Moments. We are looking at specific holy moments in the story of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at a very powerful moment of obedience. In fact, the subtitle of this sermon is When It's Hard to Obey. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 24. So that's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. So as you look that up, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to be able to stand here today and to share the thoughts that you have placed in my heart. I pray that they would be pleasing to you and that everything that I say would be according to your will and the obedience that I perform for you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to begin with, before we even go to Matthew, we've got to go all the way back to the creation of the world. And you see, I've been asked this question many times, especially in youth ministry when I was doing that for many years. And that question is, why did God create evil? Well, I'm here to tell you today, he didn't create evil. That was not his creation. But he did create Jesus. And he created Lucifer. And he also gave Jesus and Lucifer free will. Jesus chose to be obedient to God's purpose for his life. Lucifer, who was supposed to be a worship leader, did not. He chose to be evil. He chose through his pride to go after the throne of God. And that's how evil was birthed. God didn't create it. It was not his intent. But Lucifer had a different plan in mind. He didn't want to be obedient to God. So as we look at this scripture and we think about this, we got to think about what was in the beginning. Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was God. He was Jesus. You see, even before Adam and Eve sinned, there was a redemption plan in place for humanity. Do you realize how big that is? Do you realize how incredible that is? That God knew as he created us that we would be imperfect and that because of our free will, we would choose disobedience at times. And yet, he put Jesus in place before he breathed the first breath into Adam because he knew we would need a Savior. And that, my friends, Charlie Brown, is what Christmas is all about. My first point is this. Life is measured in the passing of time, but true markers in life are measured by moments. You see, life is not always measured by time. Sometimes it's measured by the moments we experience. How many of you went and spent some time with family Thursday, the big day? That's what I hear. Thanksgiving, yeah? So you did? It was good. Did you eat turkey? Boy, that's underwhelming. Did you eat turkey? Now, are you having leftover turkey? That would be underwhelming. Well, here's some things, some moments for me that come to mind. Holding Will for the first time. Will is our youngest son, and we adopted him from Paraguay. He was 11 weeks old, and when I held him for the first time, they brought him, actually the attorney's office that was bringing the children that were being adopted that day, brought him into the lobby of this hotel we were at in Asunción, Paraguay, and she laid him in my arms. That was a holy moment, y'all. Oh, it was incredible. And then later on in life, 2009, I got to watch him graduate from high school. And then on after that from college at West Florida. I remember this time was special. Do you remember this lady standing up here lighting the candle with me? Her name is Sylvia. That's my wife. We eloped. I remember that. I remember that we were standing in front of the courthouse and all of these homeless people were there. And this one lady was standing there taking imaginary pictures. It was so incredible. I remember when Sylvia got diagnosed for the first time with cancer in 2015. And then again at the beginning of this year. I also remember the moment I shared with y'all last week of finding out that there was no cancer markers in her bloodstream. Amen? Amen. Come on, that deserves a, yeah. Yeah. God is good. All the time, He is good. I remember this moment because it's fresh in my mind. It was a few weeks ago. I was sitting in a study with somebody, and she had lost her first husband and was going through a divorce with her second husband, and she shared with me that she had lost her faith because of the fact that she lost her husband to death, her first one. And it broke my heart for her. And so I asked her, I said, would you mind if I pray with you to receive your faith back? Y'all, that was a holy moment when she said yes. And we sat there and we prayed together. It was incredible. You know, I went on vacation a few weeks ago and I was at Blackwater River State Park. Every morning I got up and I would light a fire, and I would sit by that fire, and I'd pray and just think about God all morning long. That was a holy moment. I still do that every day, but there was something about being in the woods with an open fire and praying to God. It was just powerful. And then these were holy moments, trust me. But I remember my mother taking her last breath on this earth. I was with her. I remember my grandmother taking her last breath on this earth, and I was with her too. And you would think that'd be tragic, but it was a holy moment. It was so powerful. It was so sweet because I knew where they were heading, and how could I rob that from them? The joy of seeing Jesus on the other side. It was powerful. I want to share with you a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and this is verses 1 through 4 and verse 11. And it says this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, before I go on, when I was in college, I was actually took a course on Old Testament, and the professor there had taken the scripture and he applied it to his personal life. And so he would say things like, there's a time to be born. Now, for me, it'd be Will. And a time to die. For me, that would be my grandmother, my mother, my father. A time to plant and a time to uproot. When I'm planting seeds into the youth and children of this church, and even to some of the people that I do ministry with, and to this band. I have the opportunity to the privilege to be able to be with this team up here. Aren't they incredible, by the way? They are incredible. A time to kill and a time to heal. I would see that as cancer. We're going to kill cancer, and she's going to be healed. Amen. So it applies when you look at this scripture. And then you look at verse 11 and it says this, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Remember what I said about Jesus at the beginning? He was there before we were there. We can't even begin to fathom how big and how great and how incredible God's love is for you and you and you and me. Now, our second point is this. You have no idea what God can do through one moment of obedience. So we're going to spend the rest of the morning talking about Joseph. All right? We hear a lot about Mary, right? We can read a lot of scriptures about Mary. Mary's great. Oh, Mary's just wonderful. But we're going to talk about Joseph. All right? And there are some things that we do know about Joseph. Now, scripture doesn't say a lot, but it does say these things. So we do know that he was a carpenter. We do know that he was a righteous and faithful man. We do know that he was a descendant of David. We do know that he was Mary's husband. And we know that he was Jesus's earthly father. And if you remember, when Jesus was about 12 years old, he went into the temple and he was teaching and he was amazing the Pharisees with his knowledge. Remember that day? If you remember it in scripture, Joseph and Mary lost him, didn't know where he was, and they went looking for him. They were scrambling for him. And in that story, we know that Jesus was about 12 years old. Therefore, Joseph at least lived long enough to see Jesus at 12 years old. And we do know this, that one moment of obedience helped bring about a change that impacts all of us today. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Let's read this together. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, when people get engaged today, they put it on Instagram, they put it on Facebook, they put it on all the social media platforms. They go to the beach and it's like, oh, that's just incredible. Look how beautiful the sunset's just perfect. And we're getting it. Or they go to the mountains and they do something, you know, hanging from a cliff. They put it on the Jumbotron, sometimes at ball games. Now, gentlemen, if you're single today, that's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Don't put your engagement on the Jumbotron. That's just dumb. All right? That's all about you. That's not about your wife to be. Now, we need to understand the culture then, because engagement meant a lot more then than it does now. You see, engagement was a contract. It was a contract between the two families. It wasn't just between the two people. And Joseph had, at this point, knowing what he knew about Mary being pregnant, he had the legal right to break the contract. Even before they were married. Do you think this was a low moment for Joseph? I mean, what do you think? Would this be a low moment for you? You know, you're about to marry somebody and you find out they're pregnant. Or you're about to be mom or dad and you find out they're pregnant. And you find out they're not even pregnant from the person they're engaged to. Okay, that's pretty tough to deal with. And yet the scripture says that Joseph was a righteous man. Therefore, he didn't want harm to come to Mary. So this was not just a moment in time. This was a holy moment. This is why God chose Joseph. He knew. He knew how Joseph would respond to this. He wasn't going to respond out of anger. He wasn't going to respond out of justice. He was simply going to respond in a loving manner. And so as we continue to read in Matthew chapter 1, it says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So see, I don't know about you, but I've had dreams where I've seen Jesus, and I've had dreams where I know that the Lord was speaking to me. I don't know about you, but I've had encounters with angels. I don't have time to tell you about all that today. Maybe one day I can sit down and share with you. But what I can tell you is this. When God speaks and you know it, it's time to be obedient and respond to that. So, you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. Do you think Joseph understood immediately what was about to happen? They didn't give him a lot of information. They said, you're going to be the father to this kid who has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to call him Jesus. That's about all he had. And yet he went with it because he heard from God. Most of you probably don't know how I came to Woodlawn, and I want to share that with you. It is a story of obedience. And throughout my years in my career, I have been sometimes an obedient follower of leadership, and sometimes I've been disobedient. My former church, I was disobedient. I was bumping heads all the time with the senior pastor there. And at one point, I got an invitation to leave. And that's okay. You can laugh at that. That's funny. You see, I have this gene in my DNA. It's called a justice gene. Do any of y'all have a justice gene in your DNA? Well, I have one, and I really have to fight that justice gene. I'm better at it now than I used to be, but then I was not so great at it. And so I was making a list because I was going to meet with the staff parish relations committee, which we call here HR, human resource. And I was going to give him a list of grievances and things that he did wrong. And I was going to look at his face and tell him what I thought and all this kind of stuff and sit there and go, you can't fire me because I'm not the one who's wrong here. And so that was all in my head. It was coming out. And all of a sudden, throughout the time that I was putting all that stuff together, I got this visit from this guy named Dave. And Dave was a member of the church, didn't know me very well, didn't really know what was going on, but he heard the Spirit speak to his heart, and he was obedient to it. And so he showed up in my office one day before I met with this committee and before I met with the pastor. And he said, you know, Bill, I don't know you very well. I don't even know what you're going through. But I was driving down the street, and I saw the church, and I started thinking about you. And the Lord spoke these three words to me to give to you. I don't even know what it means. Let it go. Let it go. And so I began to seek my heart after listening to him. And I began to realize I couldn't hear the Holy Spirit because I was so focused on justice. I was so focused on getting my way that I couldn't hear from the Holy Spirit. So finally, I just stepped back and I let it go. And sure enough, I started hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so I went into that meeting that night, and they were expecting me to pick a fight, and I didn't. I was obedient. I handed them my resignation, said, I'll be gone in at December. This was 2006. And they were dumbfounded. They were ready to fight. They wanted to fight. And I stole the thunder. I didn't. God did. From their sails, because I said, I surrender. They said, you don't have anything to say? I said, nope. So all you're going to do is just turn in this resignation? Yep. I thought you had a bunch of things you wanted to tell us. No. And so I left that meeting, and you know, I had this incredible peace fall over me. I even had, after that meeting, I'd found a job, had it lined up, had benefits and everything, was going to pay great, and I kept hearing from the Spirit, that's not the job for you. And so I turned it down, not having another job in place. Who does that? When you're in ministry, sometimes you do, if you want to be obedient. And so I had a little time left at that church, and so I called Cameron Winton up. She was up here singing a while ago. And at that time, she was the youth director here, And so we went to a meeting together. I said, Cameron, would you go to this meeting with me? It's over in Fort Walton Beach, and a bunch of other youth directors, and all youth directors do is get together and clown around and have mayhem together. So she said, sure, I'll go to that. And so as we're driving along, we were talking. She said, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? I said, well, funny thing you asked that. I just turned in my resignation. And she said, you want to come to Woodlawn? And I said, well, funny thing is I've been praying about Woodlawn for years since I've been here in Panama City. And so, sure enough, she talked to her pastor, who was Ron Ball at the time, and they brought me in, and I interviewed with the Staff Parish Relations Committee. That's what we used to call it. And at the end of that meeting, I was really excited, and they said, do you have any questions? I said, yeah, what am I going to do here? And they said, well, we're kind of wanting to let you figure that out. You know, we know we want you to do some contemporary music, but other than that, you know, you bring a lot of things to the table. Just, we'd love to see you here. And so I went home and I told Sylvia, I said, you know, I don't even know if this is going to be full time. I said, this may be a part-time job. I may have to find a job at somewhere else, you know, to supplement my income. I said, but I feel like the Lord is calling us to Woodlawn. Well, Steve Irwin, executive pastor here, called me at that time, that night, that same night after the interview, and he said, we want to hire you. I said, well, great. That's perfect. And I said, is it full-time, part-time? What's it going to be? And he said, actually, we want to hire you full-time. I said, so what am I going to be doing? He said, you're going to write your own job description because we don't know. We just want you on staff. We just like you, and we think you fit here. And so I joined the team in January 2007, and I've been here ever since. I still butt heads with the pastor. But this pastor looks at me differently, and he says, every time I'm butting heads with him, he said, Beryl, you need a vacation. That's right. Well, what are you doing when it comes to your obedience? You see, I was obedient to that man that came in who the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and I found my way because I became obedient rather than seeking justice. I want to go to Matthew again, the first chapter, verses, this is the end of our reading, 22 through 24. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, now watch this. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He was obedient. Joseph didn't understand what he was getting into, but he got into it. And think about, how would we respond at such news? How would we do that? And think about the persecution that probably happened, the fact that they were shunned, you know, the whispering, oh, she's pregnant, you know, and they're not even married yet. You know, God knew all that was going to happen. So how do you deal with the responsibility of raising God's son? And here's our fourth point. Obedience is our responsibility, and the outcome is God's. Isn't that good? Obedience is our responsibility, and the outcome is God's. Now, we're going to watch a video clip here from The Chosen. It's just a few minutes long. It's about Joseph and Mary actually on the road to Bethlehem. And we have permission from The Chosen producers to be able to show this clip. So we're going to show this. I think it'll put everything into perspective, and then I'll come back and we'll finish this out.
Thank you for protecting me. I don't know that I've said that yet.
We have a little ways to go yet. Let's see how tonight goes, and
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about before.
Oh. Ah.
been meaning to say something this whole journey, and I didn't, and I should have.
Hmm.
I should have months ago.
You don't have to.
Yes. Yes, I do. You could have gotten all of the bride price back from my father.
It was never about the money.
I know it wasn't. And I know it's not polite to talk about, but no one would have blamed you.
For what?
You're divorcing me. Publicly.
Mary, I...
You could be betrothed to someone that you don't have to hide. And people wouldn't be gossiping about you. And you could go be registered without having to drag me on this donkey for 5 minutes. Joseph. You are a brave man. And you are godly. And I should have said thank you.
God told me to.
I know he did.
Mm.
You had a choice.
I don't believe that I did. But I'm glad. Either way. I wouldn't change a single thing that has happened since that dream.
Neither would I.
Oh, this all seems impossible, huh?
Yes. Yes. But remember what the messenger said to me?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is impossible with God.
My messenger didn't say that. That would have been nice, huh? Are you feeling better?
A bit, yes.
Okay. Papa.
Okay.
To move quicker. You need water, and I plan to get settled for the part where your messenger and my messenger said the same thing. And she will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yes, that part. Come on.
Don't you just love The Chosen? It's great. And, you know, they do embellish some of the, you know, fill in the blanks. And that's okay. I think the creative license is incredible in what they do. They don't change scripture. And yet, you get this story that's just weaved together so well. And they hire great actors and actresses. And they depict things so well from the scripture. I thought this was just so beautiful. We had to see it today because it really sums up the whole scripture there as we read in Matthew chapter 1. Obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. You see, Joseph wasn't responsible for the results. God handled that. And when we grieve or we hurt, the human tendency is to ask the question, why? Why me? Why this? Why now? And a lot of times we don't even get the answers to those questions. But we can get an answer to this question. And God will answer it every time. What now? What now? My wife has cancer. What now, Lord? You have somebody dying in your life today. What now? Is somebody going through a broken marriage right now? What now, Lord? Somebody's just struggling with some depression today. What now? What does God desire for us to do after a defining moment? He wants us to listen to him, and he wants us to obey, and then he'll take care of the rest of the things from there. Now, for a moment, I want to speak to those who are hurting. Christmas reminds us that God came near to his people. And that means there is hope for the world. That's the good news of Christmas. Even in the midst of sadness and loss and the difficulty that it brings to our lives, we all need to be reminded that because of Jesus, there is hope beyond our current circumstances. It doesn't mean that every moment we'll be happy. And when we walk with God in our sadness, we know that he cares deeply about it. And it does mean this life is not all there is. Christmas isn't always as clean and happy as portrayed in our culture. You see, we see everybody putting their lights up. There's going to be neighborhoods that are having, you know, competitions. Who's got the best decorated yard? We'll see, you know, everything, and even in social media, we'll begin to get those things, you know, little things that you can do where you can put your picture in the center of it, and you've got a wreath like around your head. Make me look like I have grassy hair. And it's not funny. But I'll see you after service. You know, we get all those things and we see all those things. And yes, it is a time to celebrate. It's a time to be happy and it's time to be joyful. But you got to remember, not everybody is joyful during Christmas. You see, Christmas is messy sometimes. For those who are hurting and distressed, things may not always look the way they used to look like. But here's what's beautiful about Christmas. Jesus came into a very messy manger. Now, we have all these nativity scenes that we see. I think we have one in the front of the church. They're beautiful. And they honor Jesus. They honor God. And they're really pretty. But that's not reality. I mean, think about it. They were surrounded by animals in a stable. What do? They eat and then what? They put it right back out on the ground again. And it's smelly. And that's where Jesus was born. He was born in a messy place because he came to be born in a messy world. Y'all, this world is a mess. And it stinks. And it's chaotic. And there's wars and rumors of wars. There's stuff that happens. People that get bullied on social media. People going through divorce. People losing somebody that they love today because they're on their last breath. Christmas can be messy. The manger was messy. And he came for the very purpose of bringing hope in the darkness. I want to share with you a song. I want to share just a few lyrics of it. Cameron's going to sing it in a little bit. I actually had to apologize to Cameron about it. I was going to try not to do it this season just because we do it every year. Sort of like when you go to a band concert and you hear your favorite band is singing, you know, favorite artist is singing, and you want them to sing that song that you really love. And the artist is sitting there going, again, I got to sing that song again. And I was thinking about Cameron this year, and I thought, I'm not going to make her sing this song again. I'm going to pull it from the playlist. We'll give it a rest. And then I started working on the sermon and talking about the messiness of Christmas. And this fits. So she's going to sing it during communion. But let me just read to you. It's a song by Andrew Peterson called Labor of Love. You've heard it probably if you've been here during Christmas. And here are just some words to it. I'm going to read the whole thing. It was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. You could hear a woman cry in the alleyway that night on the streets of Davidstown. It was a labor of pain. It was a cold sky above, but for the girl on the ground in the dark, with every beat of her beautiful heart, it was a labor of love. What's God calling you to do today? Maybe you're not the person who's hurting or sad, but you may know somebody. You may know somebody that needs to come to Blue Christmas tonight at 5. Just for some healing time. What's God calling you to do about that? You know, how many of you go to Publix? You go to Publix? I just love Publix. Let me ask you this. Have you had Mateo's salsa? Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, come on now. Mateo's salsa? Have you not had it? Oh, that's some good stuff. I even tried the hot version last time I picked up a jar. I was sweat beads off the top of my head. I was loving it. It was so good. Well, I had it in another event. Somebody told me about it. So I went into Publix, and I couldn't find it. And so I found one of the Publix people there on staff. And I said, can you tell me where I can find Mateo's salsa? And I said, tell you? I'll show you. I know exactly where it is. And so they just walked me over to the aisle, and there it is. And now I've got jars of it at home. I mean, I'm telling you, it's good stuff. But they showed me. They didn't just tell me about it. They showed me. That's good hospitality right there. I want to tell you something else. We caught somebody at the traditional service doing something good. I know you're shocked. Somebody walked in the lobby area asking where the contemporary service was. And this one person said, well, I can tell you, but I'd rather show you. And so they walked that person all the way down the hallway, all the way down this little sidewalk area here, into the cafe, and said, this is where we have our contemporary service. Now, if you don't mind, I don't like this service. I'm going away. But they did the right thing. They took them. They took them. They didn't say, well, there you can walk down here and go down this sidewalk. They took them. They showed them. They showed them. So I want to tell you today that I believe that God is calling you to take somebody. Take the hurting. Take the person who's struggling. Don't just tell them about Blue Christmas. Show them. Come. Sit with them. It might not be your service. You might not care to be here. But if you're here with them, I guarantee you they will come. Invite them, but don't send them. Say, I'm picking you up. I'm going to pick you up at 4:30 this afternoon and drive you to the church. God is calling us to reach out and to bless those who are lowly and hurting. That's what Jesus did when he came into this world. So the only thing we have to remember is that if God is calling you, the responsibility is yours. So if you feel that tug in your heart to do something, you better check yourself with God, because if it's him, then it's your responsibility. But here's the good thing. You're not responsible for the outcome. You're not responsible on how God works in another person. All you have to do is show up and be there. Look, if he calls somebody as incompetent as me to do what I do, I can tell you, he'll call you guys and let you do. All you have to do is be available to him. I wish I'd have given him this to write on the screen today, because this is, I believe, the key to today's message. If you don't take anything away from today other than this line right here, hear it, write it down, and hear it and use it. Joseph's obedience brought Christ into the world. Our obedience can bring Jesus into someone's world this Christmas. I'm going to say it again. Write it fast. Joseph's obedience brought Christ into the world. Our obedience can bring Jesus into someone's world this Christmas. Amen. What is God calling you to do? He's probably speaking to your heart right now. What's he calling you to do? Let us pray. Oh, Lord, I pray that we hear you today. I pray that we hear your message. I pray that we hear what you're calling us to do and that we respond to it with obedience, just like Joseph did when the angel spoke to him in a dream. And so, Lord, we lift it up for your purpose and glory and give thanks for all that you do. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to take communion, and I'd like for those who are going to serve to go ahead and come forward. And as we do so, we're going to put a prayer on the screen, and I'd like for you to say this prayer with me. It comes from the Book of Common Prayer, and it's the prayer of confession. So let's pray this prayer together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it, gave thanks, and broke it. And when he did that, he looked at the disciples and he said, this is my body broken for you and for the many. Take this and eat this and be blessed. And likewise, after dinner, he took the cup. I always believe he holds it high. Now, scripture doesn't say that. It's just me thinking, I bet he held it to where everybody could see it. And he blessed it and gave thanks. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, shed for you, shed for the many. Drink this in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread, we take the wine today. Let us remember what Jesus did for us through the pain and suffering and the choices that he made so that we could have his salvation and his grace and his mercy. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, thank you so much for this table. Lord, we honor you and glorify you, and we praise you for it. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. This table is an open table. All who come are welcome to come to this and be served. The ushers will be dismissing you. We also have baskets up here. Don't confuse these baskets. These baskets are for We Care, which is a ministry that we provide for the needy and the struggling to be able to provide food for them. And so that's what these baskets are for. Later on in the service, we will pass baskets for the tithe and offering. So be sure not to confuse that. All right. Will you come as the ushers come?